This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we sample around the world the amazing humans that exist in the land of human design, gene keys, astrologies, metaphysics, all the things. In this series, we are showcasing guests in the human design community and bringing recognition to them in the work that they do, not just in the human design space, but in their general day-to-day work, and just get to know them a little better and how they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's conversation is with Steve. Steve is a 5-1 mental projector with the cross of dedication. Outside of human design, Steve is a neuromuscular therapist, a master body healer, and he uses that through his business, Body Solutions. Steve also resides in my old hometown of Toowoomba. I hope that's not too much to share, Steve. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's not too much to share.
I'm so glad that you're here. And I just want to share with my little community and audience. So you came into my orbit. It's very interesting because you were sharing in, I think, one of our spiritual pages. We're both a part of these groups, and you're in Toowoomba and you're a 5-1 and you're a mental projector. And the things that you were sharing really like lit me up, because I'm like, wow, who's this person? I got to get to know him. And here we are having a chat.
Yay. And I'm stoked. The more I've learned about reflectors and how we're quite similar in many ways, where we have so many undefined centers, like I'm really, and we're 5-1s. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yeah. And the mental projector and the reflector, often, I think I said this to you when we were chatting, we kind of get lumped together in a bit of the same pool, because there's so much openness in our chart. But before we go into that, I'd really love to invite you in to share with us how you found human design, or human design found you. Take us back.
Wow. I moved to Toowoomba around December, and about a month later, I was seeking guidance for my own, just to get more clarity around my purpose. Like, I relocated to a new place. I literally had to start my client base from scratch. And I hooked up with a shaman, as you do, and, the local shaman on the mountain. And so we were doing some energy work. And afterwards, we hung out. We became friends. You know, we had a really good connection straight off the bat. And he was talking to me about human design. And he said, look, have a look into it. He said it really helps him. He's a manifesting generator. So he's all like in the moment now, and he has that sacral center to, you know, power him through. And so from researching my human design, I came across that I was a mental projector. Didn't really have a full understanding of what mental projector meant. I just categorized myself as a projector. But the more I'm looking into it now, I'm not really a projector. I'm like I'm more like a reflector, really, that has a defined head. But anyway, I just felt myself being kind of tired in his presence after about 2 hours of hanging out. And I thought, is it me? Is it my diet? Is there something wrong? And the more I explored human design, I realized that I'm here to rest primarily, and things come to me, and I'm not here to expel energy. So then I started just going down the rabbit hole of understanding why I'm here, what my strengths and weaknesses are. So human design has helped me heal to the next level. Like, I thought I was quite healed, but I realized it's reaffirms why I'm here and the path that I'm on. And also it's validated me in the sense of, yeah, I do need to rest. I'm not lazy. Yeah. So that's kind of a nutshell overview.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because, you know, I've found in all of our experiences, you know, when we find these tools, human design or other things, it takes us kind of, it transports us back. It transports us back to like where we've been, and we can kind of heal a little bit of that wounding of the, you know, especially the reflector, the non-sacrals, the reflector, the projector and the manifestor. It's like how much we were rushed, or how much we were rushing ourselves. When you found this, and when you started to sort of understand that projectorism, did you take that journey back?
Well, I look back at talking into the sacral centers and having that powerhouse ability, which I have done triathlons, I have sailed around the world, I have run two businesses at the same time while studying a full-time degree and having a relationship, etc. I've done like literally 80-hour weeks, and I dropped into fatigue, like chronic fatigue. And I often look back at this and think, well, all of my other, you know, in my former life, I was an entrepreneur. So all of my former friends were just, you know, it was all about the, you know, you only need like 4 hours sleep a day, like the Tony Robbins model, just keep on going. And the more energy you put in, the more you receive. But in the end, I burnt out and I couldn't manage the, you know, the legacy that I'd created. So I look back upon that. I also look back upon school because according to the human design model, the projectors are one of the easiest to be conditioned. And I always felt that school wasn't, it wasn't aligned with me. And I even knew back then, I felt myself just staring out the window most of the time. I failed my grades, like I wasn't present. So that ties in with some of my gates and everything, which, you know, we might cover. So yeah, that's, you know, schooling and career, I definitely, but are two aspects that like I look back upon. And in terms of the healing that I've gained from acknowledging that I was the way I was is so profound. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me now. Just in that's the pressure of thinking something's wrong and that we don't fit in, that can be just as detrimental to our health as, you know, well, that I believe that's actually one of the main causes of dis-ease, is being out of alignment with who we are and why we're here. And so to the degree that we're trying to fit in with this homogenized, very industrial kind of, there's a lot of indoctrination happening. We need to be a certain way. The more we realize that we're supposed to be a particular way, regardless of what our design is, once we discover why we're here and who we are, then we can just let all that go. Cause it's like, I can just be me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Because that's a part of that. Yeah. Finding human design for a lot of people is just like, oh shit, this is me. And it gives you, you know, people say it's a big permission slip because it's like, oh, I can be me because this is what my gifts are. This is who I, you know, was always designed to be, but somehow all the other junk just got caught in the way. And so that starts our deconditioning process, doesn't it? It's just like, deconditioning. Isn't that the word of the century?
Well, it's healing.
Yeah.
It is the healing. And I studied a holistic health course under the Czech Institute. So I'm a certified Czech practitioner. It's a very holistic modality, covers, you know, the foundation principles of health, movement, rest, breathing, hydration, nutrition, and thoughts. And so they have a course called Peak Performance Success Mastery or something. And the very first chapter talks about peeling back the veil of deception. And it's about why we think the way we think. And, you know, as a result of thinking that way, we make choices which might not be aligned with who we are, why we're here, you know, the people we're supposed to surround ourselves with and our line of work and everything. So in my life experiences, having done, you know, like some serious personal development since 2009, I would say human design has been the absolute cream on top when it comes to getting upstairs, you know, sorted.
And yeah, you know, speaking of like upstairs, you're a mental projector. So for those that are listening along at home, and what is a mental projector? It's they're top heavy. So it's either the, you know, the head and the ajna, or definitely the ajna defined, often connected to the throat, which is you. So you have those three centers defined.
Yes.
Yep. And it's a straight channel right down the guts.
Yes.
And that's met, I could only imagine, I'm not a projector, but that's met with like, whoa, you know, there must be a lot of activity with mental projectors. Often there is a lot of activity in the mental space. And I often thought, wow, that's such a conundrum, for lack of better words, whereas it's like we're taught to not be so heady. We're taught to think with our body, but it's like the mental projector is like, but I have to. And it's, I don't know. I'd love to hear your experience. It's just like, yeah. I have to, I got all these things and I got to get it out. It's got, yeah. It's like, but I've got to be in my body. It's just like, but I am in my body because it's in my defined head and ajna and throat. I'm literally in my body.
Well, in this moment, because I have an outer authority, you are in my body, or I'm in your body, because I'm picking up your energy. And then I'm in the presence of this beautiful countryside. So I'm feeling very grounded in this moment. And I've, you're actively listening and you've invited me in. So I've got the right environment right now, let's say. So I'm feeling good. However, on a physical level, I have a very big head in comparison to my body. So that could be in order to hold all of the thoughts that I have on a day-to-day basis. They say we have 80,000 thoughts in a day. I'm debating that. I probably have five times as many. So in terms of, so we've got, essentially the higher true self and then the not self. And I have been both on the not self aspect. I've gone into psychosis a few times in my life, didn't know how to get out of it. And what I realized it was, I was stuck in a loop because I have this like knowing circuit. And I get insight about things and it comes to me, typically from a situation that's happened before. It then comes to me in a relaxed state. I just get this insight like, oh, maybe it's that. And then it gets stuck in this knowing, this like loop process. And it requires me to verbalize it. So I'm fortunate to have the capacity to think of something really complex, assimilate it to something really simple, and then verbalize it in a very clear way. But what I'm sometimes often, I often get stuck in is the choices around my own choices for my own life. I can help other people very well. I can really guide them through asking the right questions, and I've resourced myself to do that. But when it comes to, do I do this? Often it's in relationships with people. I often find because I absorb their energy, and if they are not necessarily, if they're not aware of human design and mental projector, which the majority of my life has been that way. So I found myself needing to soundboard with people to assimilate something so I can make a decision for myself. And they often come back with, look, this isn't my problem, or you need to speak to someone else. I'm not your counselor. When in reality, I'm not needing counsel. I'm not needing advice. I just need to go, hey, I was wondering about this big decision I need to make, Jim. Can I soundboard it with you? Because I don't have the body awareness to process this information, like a spleen for intuition, or the ego to, or the G center to kind of give me the self awareness. So it's been hard bloody work, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, and I could only imagine, because even reflectors, we often utilize the soundboarding, using outer authority, because it's like, and that's a learning which I could appreciate that you've had to get to, because as soon as you start talking, people want to solve your problems, and you get to this point, especially I could imagine for you, it's just like, I don't need your opinion. I just need you to shut up and listen to me. Yeah. Just be there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to steal your body.
Yeah. And because there's only 1 or 2% of us, it's unique. It's like there's something wrong with us. Can't you just fix it yourself? You're in your head. And a lot of people don't want to be invested in your, problems and challenges. And it's a very, it requires to be in the presence of people that are fully aware and really want to receive this opportunity, really invite you into that opportunity.
Yeah, it really does. There's had a little story here, just to share stories of a young pre-university, so 17-year-old male mental projector, and didn't know at the time what was wrong with him. Always felt there was something wrong with him, and so when he left school, he lost that sense of purpose that school had given him, because it was structured, and off he went off to university, and he became really depressed. Because he couldn't, like what you were just sharing there before, he couldn't get out of his head. And so through a little bit of work with human design, this kid or young man learned that he had an exceptional mind, an exceptional way of being able to bring information out, but he needed people to be able to help him do that. And so when he kind of got to this acceptance piece of going, well, I can't do it all, he just thrived. He'd have thrived at university. And he's just one of these classic examples of people, well, the very few amount of people that I know who are mental projectors who really get caught, got caught. But now that he could understand it, he could go, okay, well, I don't have to get caught. I've just got to be able to, in a way, using this voice to be able to say, here's the information. Off you go and do something with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But being projectors, it's often met with that, you know, you've got to be invited.
People get stuck on that and they don't understand what it really means.
How's that felt for you? Share with us.
Well, when I first started learning human design around January, I thought it was, I would like to invite you in, like an invitation. But now, for me, it's just, it works on energy and their attention to me. If they, an example was with someone the other morning, and she wanted to get into her body, but I needed things to express verbally. And there was like a, you know, bit of a clash. And so in that moment, I just know that's not the invite, because she wants to go and do her morning routine, but I needed to express something before I was on my way. But that was just wasn't the invite. It, you know, I don't need the other person to say, oh, I'd like to invite you to tell me what's on your mind so I can help you process it. No. You know, we need to tune in. We need to read the cue, you know, there, you know, the social cues, etc. And again, it's about surrounding yourself with the right kind of people as well. The people that are willing to take on your information to some degree without offering you advice. It requires actually explaining, this is how I am. Like, you might have an autistic person say, look, I have autism. So just to let you know, these are my triggers. And we work with, you know, mental disabilities, so to speak. Well, why not consider mental projectors in, not in the same category, but at least respect people for their way of processing information. Like a generator, you can ask them a yes or no question to get the answer, right? So coming back to why human design is so beneficial, if we're all participating in getting to know ourselves on a basic level with, you know, the invitation, the environment, strategy, etc., then we can work in harmony with each other.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. And you know what? You've just like illuminated something in me there. It's just like we're always relying on the sacral, you know, the manifesting generator and the generator, and this is the work. It's just like, well, flip that script in a way and go, well, this is also, you know, a very active role or active process. You know, I just wanted to also share with you, like in a reflector space, and I've completely lost my train of thought right now. I just tried to write it down. It's just gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. This is what happens.
Do you want me to just check in with gate 61 just to let you know what you're thinking?
What were you thinking? Gotcha. We're like, we have no fucking idea.
Yeah. So essentially, we were talking about, bringing in the right people in our lives, and we amplify the energy of others. So you would be, I want to know actually how it works with the open throat, ajna and head. So because you're not defined, so to speak, like, well, am I amplifying you? Like, how's that working for you now?
No, I often find when I'm, my experience through my experiment, which is funny because I just completely lost my train of thought, but that happens when I'm trying to overload my mental thoughts and going, just park that. I normally have a pen and I write everything down, and then I go, well, what's that note? I don't even remember. for most parts for me, I find that I can settle into a thought process a lot easier when someone has a defined ajna and head. It's like when I'm around them, I can think clearer. It's because I have a completely open head. And so a lot of the times for me, it's just like, oh, what was I, you know, I can overthink. Yeah. And I think someone with a defined head can also overthink, but there's a bit of it kind of like grounds it a little bit for me in the body. So amplifying, I don't know about that. I just feel that it gives me an anchoring. And especially it depends on the connection or the channels that we're forming together. So there's that. you and I both together, I think sometimes because, you know, below the throat, we're completely open. We're just like, whoa, let's just, and this is the beautiful thing about open centers to open centers is just like, we can kind of get a little bit loose and there's no restriction. So when, I don't know about you, but when I'm around people sometimes that have like, or they're nearly fully defined, they're like moving, you know, bulls. They don't want to move. They're stuck in this way and they're stuck in their thinking and they're stuck in this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, but don't you just go with the flow like we do?
So well, I can be stuck in my thinking, I'll tell you. You know,
yeah
I can. However, I have the capacity to reflect because I know how to ground myself. And I've done a lot of personal development, a lot of research. Before human design, I was researching archetypes and, you know, and sacred contracts. And, you know, I was actually researching energy and water and crystals and neutrinos. So I actually came across a lot of this information before human design. So it just really locked in. As soon as I read about it, I was like, this is the thing. Anyway, coming back to the loops. So yeah, I can be very stuck on something because I have this knowing circuit. It's almost like I know and they don't. So I'm the authority in something. I need to, and they call it the genius or freak channel. And I can be that sometimes. I can have such a profound understanding of something so complex that I've never researched before. And I'm just like, and then I can just assimilate it and articulate it in like three words and say, yeah, it's because of that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, where somebody might have done like a 4-year course to understand that aspect. Whereas on the other side is I can get so stuck in a rigid way of thinking and loops around something which might be an illusion. So this is the not self. So I might get stuck on something around a relationship dynamic because I don't have the senses defined below the throat. I can get very absorbed in the energy of the other person. And it's almost like a sense of dependency.
Yes.
Having been an only child and raised by my grandparents, there was a bit of an unstable upbringing to some degree. And so there's almost like it like compounds that almost the way I get affected by other people even more so. So it's definitely, I've had to do a lot of work on that before human design, and human design has really helped me sit back and identify whether it's the truth or an illusion. That's a big thing for me to do. And I have a journal process. It's called the medicine wheel, and it starts with the issue, what's rattling around in my brain. And then I convert it into what the illusion is. Okay, these are my thoughts. Is it real? Is it based on my conditioning or a past experience? Then I go into the truth. Okay, what is the actual fact in this? And then that really helps me because then I can assimilate into wisdom. Ooh, and from there, I can gain clarity if I don't have the opportunity to soundboard, that is.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Like that's a, you know, and that will help. Again, I know that reflectors don't have definition, but it's still a way to process these for anybody really, isn't it? Like every type, it's still, that's a good way of looking at it. Is this the truth or is this illusion? Because we can get caught in, you know, not self. All of us get caught in not self. Yeah. I remembered what I was saying. I had to quickly write it down there. You never know where it's going to go. That's the fun of it. But I wanted to, you were sharing before about, we were talking about the invitation, you know, projectors have to wait for the invitation. And that's like a, you know, you've got to wait for the invitation. You were saying it doesn't work like that necessarily for you. Reflectors, we got to wait a goddamn lunar cycle. So, you know, it's like, you imagine when we get the chart and it goes, what's your chart? I'll just wait 28 days. It's like, no one got time for that. But what I found with projectors, reflectors, and anybody who's got to wait is we are also active participants in that. And so what you were sharing there before was a confirmation of that. It's just like, you don't just sit there and you're not just waiting and just twiddling your thumbs, waiting for your invitation. We're not just waiting on the moon to track through. We are actively engaged in the day-to-day life of things. And seeking those invitations is often, I could imagine for you, it's also about recognition, what you were sharing there. So I think that's where I was going there before I went, where, who am I?
Yeah. It's like lead generation. That's the, you know, set, you're like planting seeds.
Yeah.
You know, throwing out boomerangs and they come back, or, you know, the plants grow. That's the way I look at it's like attraction marketing. That's what I'm trying to say here. I look at it like the peacock. Oop, I'll put my feathers up. This is my offering. Give out some information, which is a benefit, or present myself in a way which can be of service to people, but not actually offer the service. And, you know, it really, I look at it in a mechanical way, in a simple way. But I think a lot of people get stuck on that. Well, I wasn't bloody invited. Well, did you actually, you know, kind of plant any seeds with what you can potentially offer? You can't just, like, with an absolute stranger sat in a shopping mall who's having a, you know, is in the middle of a crisis situation, running over and trying to save them might not work. But you can also set up the invitation as just letting them know, you know, I'm a first aider, you know, or something like along these lines. Would you like me to give you some assistance? Yes, please. You know, so letting them know what you do provides the opportunity for the invitation. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I love that. And, you know, we're all magnetic, because that's where the monopole sits. We're all magnetic, our auras. Everything about us is magnetic. It's just like we're also attracting and repelling. Speaking of auras and repelling, not that you're repelling at all, but the way that the aura mechanic works is very, very different for the projector. You know, that's reflectors, even though we've got all of these open centers and people look at reflectors and go, oh, they're all open, they're all white, that must be really conditioned. We are, but we're also, we have that, what they call that Teflon aura. We have protection to be this open. Projectors don't have that. So when you know, I look at projectors who've just got one channel, or they're mental projectors, you know, it's like, whoa, you don't have the protection that the reflector has. So you are absorbing a lot more in a way than what we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had panic attacks walking through shopping centers before.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of what was happening, but I'm there processing everyone that I'm walking past. I'm looking at the way they move, their posture, thinking about, are they happy in their relationship? And like, so my mind is that active. And the more I've studied holistic health and posture and mobility and all these different aspects of life, I've actually, it's a disservice to myself in some ways, because there's so much availability to look at different systems. And so at any one time, I'll be, you know, intuitively checking in terms of what, not now, this is what I was doing, I should say. I would be in a public space and just literally absorbing the energy of everyone, but plugging into each person temporarily and observing their clothing, what sport they would do. Oh, look at his posture. They don't seem to have loving body language. Blah, 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 blah. And I would just be like that for hours. And I didn't know how to get out of it. So what I do is keep away from public places as much as possible. If I need to do shopping, I'll make sure it's all in one trip and then come back. And again, I'm not a lover of social settings unless I'm the leader, if I'm being honest, unless I'm the one entertaining people. If there's someone who has an authority in that position and there's a bunch of people really tuning into that person, I find it hard to be there. I'd rather be one-on-one with that person. It sounds like an egotistical way, but I just feel very uncomfortable in groups. Mm-hmm. I've done public speaking in front of 300 people. That was different because it was a collective one on me. But when it comes to going to a networking event, for example, I'll just lock onto one person and they're trying to get away from me. And I'm like, no, please don't, because I've plugged into you and I'm here to save you. Right, kids? Yeah.
You find that that's that penetrating aura of the projector.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, I lock into people and I'm looking at every little nuance and facet of who they are, what they are. And it typically, you know, within like about 1 minute of getting to know someone, we're talking on a soul level, or it's not at all. I'm not into light, fluffy conversation about, I don't know what's happening in the world anymore. I've switched off from that as well, because it's too much information for me. Like post COVID, I realize there's so much more happening in the world that I've just gone, boop. My social media is all about networking with people. I don't have any access to anything other than a bit of YouTube, and that's just human design and relaxing music most of the time.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Because it's really good to, you know, rinse out, you know, it's something that we talk a lot about in the reflector space, of being able to rinse out of the day. Like if you are caught up in other people and their needs and wants, and we do take that on. And the longer we're around people, the more we take it on. Mm. So being able to have practices and doing what you do with that discipline of just going, no, I know how this goes and it's not healthy for me. It doesn't feel good for me. Mm. Is really, really like inspiring. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, no, that's cool. And I limit the amount of clients I take per day, like three. I'm exhausted after working 3 hours, if I'm being honest. I do body work. It's more muscle testing and neuromuscular therapy orientated now. It's very system orientated. I like to see, you know, mechanically what's happening with their body. That stimulates my brain. And then I like to have like maybe one client of coaching per day, two max. And I get a lot of people coming to me with crisis situations. Since I've been really stepping into my power and receiving the invites, not saying, hey, I'm here to save you, just displaying my offering about, you know, how I've overcame adversity and how I resourced myself and how I focused on my dream and got clear on who I am, by promoting my core story and the occasional case story, which is, you know, a demonstration of how I've helped people. That's how I get people in. And it's typically like I've tried everyone, but I don't know where to go now. You seem to be popping up on my radar. Can you help me? And then I'm like, yeah, please. I'm just like so eager to jump in and help them to the best of my ability.
Mm. Well, that's right there, the fifth line showing up. And I guess that leads us into having a quick chat about that 5-1 experience, because that's how it's always been for me too. And what I became very aware of was that I was actually avoiding helping myself because I was too busy outwardly helping other people. And so people talk a lot about that projection field of the fifth line, of where, you know, you are seen as something that you're really not, or people will view you in some way. And a part of us responds to that. And I think that's where the fixer comes in. We're just like, absolutely, I can help. And then sometimes you're like, oh, shit, what did I sign up for again? Mm. Talk to me about that 5-1 if you've gone into that profile.
Heavily, heavily into it. And the first thing that comes to mind is you got to know when to jump in and help and when not to. Boundaries are so crucial. Now, when I mean boundaries, I don't mean just relationship boundaries. What I mean is boundary of self, which is, you know, we are here in the middle of, you know, we're the foundation. And then you've got the, you know, the people in our close circle, you know, friends, close friends, family, et cetera. And then we've got the outer, you know, clients and associates and people, you know, we meet occasionally. So, you know, it's like the glass half full, you know, half empty. You cannot give from an empty cup. That's essentially what I'm trying to say here. So we've got to really look after the I, which is make sure you're resting, nourished. You know, you've done your movement practice, your posture is good. It's not just human design here. It's about, you know, diet. It's about rest. It's about, you know, making sure that you're hydrated, etc. Now, so the 5 is the heretic. It's about jumping in and saving people. We've got to know if people are really inviting us in, and also if they've got the willingness to participate. So, you know, somebody could say, save me, but you can't fix anybody, you know. And unfortunately, with this homogenized allopathic way of thinking, which is fix this with that, it doesn't exist. We don't live in we're not cars. We don't drive them into a mechanics. You know, we are systems of systems. We're mental, emotional, physical beings that are, you know, energetic, and we have so many, we're so unique, and there's no cookie cutter approach. So what I'm saying here is there's a lot to unpack in what I've just said, but in a nutshell, identifying people's willingness by helping them understand what they're aiming towards, because they might not understand until you help them. Help them understand what they're moving away from. Okay, so you're clear on that, what each direction looks like. Discussing our limitations and their expectations is crucial, because people that want to be saved and they're not saved, it can actually have a detrimental effect, because they lost their faith. Oh, well, if you can't save me, then who can? Well, yeah. No one can save you, but we can show you the way if we are which segues onto the one line, which is, if we are resourced, if we know our crafts, and we've done a comprehensive assessment of that person to identify the obstacles, the stress factors. And the way I like to look at saving people is, say you're in a pub and you've got taps all lined up along the bar. It's a bit early in the day, but so, you know, you've got them all pouring on full, right? So, you know, all the beer is pouring out and it's flowing into the trough and then it's flowing onto the floor. And to the degree that we've got all these different forms of stress pouring out is the degree that, you know, they're going to get dis-ease and anxiety, et cetera. So what we've got to do is, from my perspective, is look at health holistically. So, okay, how can we reduce each one of the stress factors so it has a summation effect? So by letting people know that there are ways to heal, but it's not a one size fits all fix it solution, that there are ways to reduce the stress factors by learning authority, learning strategy, learning what nutrition's right for you, learning your environment, how to rest, etc. I believe my role as a projector is to help people in that as my five line, you know.
Yeah,
I've covered the one as well, haven't I,
to some people? Yeah, you did. I love how it all shows differently. Like, this is the gift of human design. It just keeps on giving, because the heresy of the fifth line, you know, we can come out guns blazing when we have that solid foundation of that first line. Mm. It's like, get out of my way, I'm about to tell you something. And especially with a defined throat, I've got six gates in my throat. I know I'm not supposed to say things, but it feels sometimes really good to come out and say, listen here, this is exactly how it's going to be. The world needs that fifth line heresy sometimes, of people coming out and saying, hey, what's going on here? Because this is how it needs to go, you know? And it's about judgment. Like, the fifth line has a lot of judgment in it. And I don't know about you, I'd love to just hear quickly your thoughts on that, but you were sharing in there before about before you kind of took that time to step away of going, you're viewing situations, you're viewing people, but it's also a part of our judgment that comes in very quickly. And we're not judging people in a negative way, but it's like we're judging things really quickly and going, this is how it is. This person's this, this is this, this is this, this posture's off, this is this, this is this. It's judgment. And the fifth line can come across quite judgy. If we don't have it in check and go, we're not judging you personally, we're judging a situation and a scenario and a holistic, a wholeness, and providing a solution to that. So that was a bit of a side note there.
But to get there, you need the invite. You need to display your offerings, then they need to come in with openness and willingness. And then you need to show them, you know, what's realistic. And then ask some questions, because you, even though they are presenting with, let's say, a high score in the stress factors that we were talking about, we're still not here to tell them what to do, because they have their own life. So it's a negotiation. It's, okay, you're scoring high here. Here are some options. Do you like the sound of moving in this direction or that direction? Which one fits in with your, you know, the amount of time you have available, with, you know, your line of work, with your relationships, you know, with your affordability when it comes to food, etc. So it is very much working in with people and not guiding them.
Oh, I love it. It's absolutely true. And I don't know about you, but I know through a lot of my earlier years of life, I'd just come in there. It's like I'd go straight in for the jugular. You know, have you seen this? Have you had a look at that? Like, oh my God, what are you doing? And it's like, wow, you just came in completely uninvited. No one's ready for that.
Unsolicited advice.
It is. And it's a fine line to just going, you have to shut your mouth and keep your opinions to yourself.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. That's been a training in itself, to just go, I bet I have all this and I need to tell you all this. And it's just like, don't say a word.
And I felt myself, you know, because of my defined throats, I was quite tactless at times as well. That was my not self. And I might say the wrong thing and really offend people. That was before I had the knowledge, you know, before I was, you know, really activating my first line, which is gaining, you know, the knowledge to then Because we can have insight, but if we don't have the knowledge, then it just becomes like a sensation almost. It's good to have the capacity to put it into a context and to be able to assimilate that and then verbalize that when the invite, you know, has come forward. So yes, it requires definitely a lot of tuning into the situation.
Yeah. We're all waiting for something, aren't we?
Yeah.
I love the learning. I love this experience of life of just going, you know, at the end of the day, we're all same, same. It's all a very similar process. We all just weave it very differently. Steve, talk to us about what you do. You've kind of mentioned it, but, you know, as we've been going for a while, share with us this beautiful gift of you and, you know, how you're helping people. Because may I just also say very quickly, just from me watching you and what you're doing, I feel it can benefit people so much in their deconditioning process, because so many of us, coming from a mental projector, which is quite ironic, but we need to get back into the body and connect back to the body, because a lot of us eject out. But yeah, share with us what you do and how you benefit people or how you help them.
Thank you. Before I do, I would like to say the importance of me getting into my body before I check my phone in the morning and start, you know, activating the logical brain. It's so important for me. So I have a nice light Qigong routine. And I like to keep myself in the parasympathetics division, which is the rest and repair division. So that's crucial for me. I just will say that. So movement has been a blessing to me. I did lots of dancing, you know, as a teenager and young, you know, my early 20s. So yeah, coming back to my body, it's crucial for everyone, but especially for someone that needs to get out of their head. So if you have a defined head center, you know, ajna and maybe throat, movement is so good. Not structured like kind of bench press, you know, like flowing movements, so like a martial arts or a tai chi or something that's, you know, free flowing, and that really helps. Now, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you the backstory if that's okay. In 2009, I had health issues, and I was going to have an operation on my shoulder, my neck. I had a fractured skull, a neck fracture, shoulder subluxation, and I was going through a separation. And there was like a really chaotic time all happening. I wasn't making good decisions in my life, and I had a big ego, and I was quite wealthy, had a couple of businesses turning over, but I wasn't really aligned with any of it. And very pulled in by the environments and other people. and I fell off of a balcony and a spike went into my skull. And I, you know, had these injuries. From there, I was, you know, going to allied health professionals, and I wasn't really getting anywhere, to be honest. They were, you know, offering me the opportunity to have fusions and go on this particular medication, et cetera. Something didn't feel right. And as a projector, I waited for the invite without realizing. And I was walking through a local marketplace, an organic marketplace, and there was a sign, live pain free. And there was the invite right there. It called me right in. And I went over to this health practitioner who had long hair and a beard, just like me, muscular guy. And I'll mention his name, Rhett Strauss. And he's a Czech practitioner. And he opened up a doorway to holistic health and spirituality, and mirroring back what my life really, the life I had created. And so I went down this rabbit hole and ended up healing and studying the same courses he studied. Then I had another challenging situation. So I hired another Czech practitioner who I did a 6-month internship with. So I spent a considerable amount of money working with holistic health practitioners. So I know whatever signs and symptoms that happen in my body, I know how to heal myself, coupled with human design, which is the next level. Now, so I got my qualifications as a holistic health coach, and I was helping people to some degree, but I found that I wasn't able to get them out of acute pain. So I studied Bowen therapy. So I'm a Bowen therapist. And as a part of that course, we were doing a muscle testing module. And with my inquisitive mind and capacity to see, you know, understand complex things, I kept on asking questions, which was almost, it was making the instructor a little bit nervous because she didn't have the answers. So I wanted to find the answers to neurological dysfunction and muscle testing and everything, which it was quite limited to in that diploma. So I went on to study neurokinetic therapy, which was a perfect fit for me. It's about systems in the body looking for trouble spots where one particular spot governs the rest. And so I looked at that manual muscle testing modality in a very holistic way. So I started integrating the other things that I learned. So I started finding hierarchy, compensatory tests, slings, all these other things which I integrated into this modality. So what I put together now is a combination of neurokinetic therapy and Czech and my own way of assimilating all of this information. Like there's a lot of information in all of this. I've just put it together in a simple formula, which enables me to look at the position someone's body's in, and then I know which muscle or maybe the jaw or the eye or breathing apparatus. I can literally, you know, within the first 5 minutes, identify where I need to go. I'm fortunate in that way because I can see it in a simple way. Now, I have started teaching massage therapists and personal trainers manual muscle testing. I have put together a lot of my knowledge and experiences into a 10 module workbook, and I'm in the process of lining up instructional videos so I can then launch workshops to have massage therapists and personal trainers come along and learn the art of assessment in simple format, because I've just made it really simple. So that's kind of where I'm at. Moved into a new place. I was living in my van for 1 year, and I needed solitude. I needed to get away from the system, and it really helps me. I went back into my cocoon. Now I'm living this beautiful hinterland property. I got a home clinic, and I'm based at the foot of Toowoomba, which is in Withcott, just down the hill, down the range. And once I'm a little bit more established here, my workshops will be official. And I do the occasional human design consult, which is human design parts, holistic health coaching. So I'm integrating the foundation principles of human design, which are, you know, the environment, strategy, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, in a nutshell, I have quite a holistic service, which is very much an extension of my own journey.
What a gift you are. And I'm so excited that you're out of the van and you're in this mansion now, as you called it.
Yeah.
And you're in nature and you just feel, you know, right environment. Environment means so much.
So good.
Yeah.
You feel the sun on my back right now.
It's so beautiful. I can hear the birds and I'm just like, oh. And I know Withcott well. I know Toowoomba well. Again, yeah. I grew up there. This has been such a treat to chat with you. I can't wait. Hopefully we can reconnect again, and once you've got all this going and stuff like that, and touch base.
Well, when you're next driving to the mountain, you can drop in and we can do an in-person.
Yeah, party. Yeah. Mum still lives there, so we're there.
Yeah.
But
perfect. I'd love to meet you in person.
Yeah. Yep. And what you've shared just is so beautiful. I'd love to have these more of a chat about this, because it's just, we can learn so much from each other, or just shut the fuck up and just, you know, and listen, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me your time, for sharing your experience, for being on this podcast. Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Annie. I really appreciate it and look forforward to watching it.
Yeah, touch. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Annie. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.